From Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri, here's Dr. Van Lees.
The fact that God is supreme and sovereign means that we can trust Him even in the midst of our suffering and pain. Even when you're in situations you don't like, when you see pain around you or perhaps in your own body, you know that that pain is not meaningless or futile. You know that there is a purpose for it, and that God is carrying out His plan, His purpose, which flows out of His infinite wisdom.
Grace is God's loving favor given to those He saves. We don't deserve it, nor can we earn it. But if we are to live eternally with Christ, we must depend totally on God's grace. Welcome to God's Amazing Grace, the radio outreach ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, committed to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Van Lees comes to the message entitled, God's Supremacy Over All. Have you ever heard someone emphatically state, "Oh no, God wouldn't do this," or "This is the way God must be"? Oftentimes, people come up with their own personal man-made God, with no objective basis at all for their conclusions. It's simply what I wish to believe. Today, we'll look at the one true source for the knowledge of God, His Word, to get a glimpse of God's sovereignty over all of His created universe. The scripture text for today's message is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 15. Here once again is Dr. Van Lees with today's edition of God's Amazing Grace. We've entitled God's Supremacy Over All.
James Kennedy, in his book, Truths That Transform, writes, "The skeptic H.G. Wells said that the world is like a great stage production produced and managed by God. As the curtain goes up, all is lovely to behold. The characters are fantastically beautiful, a delight both to eye and ear. All goes well until the leading man steps on the hem of the leading lady's dress. She then trips over a chair and knocks over a lamp, which pushes over a table into the side wall. This knocks over the back scenery, which brings the whole thing crashing down in chaos on the heads of the actors. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, God the producer is frantically running to and fro, pulling strings and shouting orders, trying desperately to restore order to the chaos. But ah, alas, he is unable to do so. Poor God." This is the God of modern man, a very little, limited God. "Either God is not good or he is not powerful," said one unbeliever. "Otherwise, the world cannot be in the mess it's in." And since most people are unwilling to believe that God is not good, they conclude that he is not all powerful. He's doing the best he can, but his best is just not good enough. He is the God who tries and fails. That's not the biblical picture of God. The Bible, God's revelation of himself, proclaims that God is all-powerful and he is sovereign. This passage in 1 Chronicles speaks of the sovereignty of God over all his creation. This is a truth of Scripture which brings great comfort and confidence in the midst of trials as well as in our average living. In fact, the more truth we understand concerning God and his nature, his attributes, the more we understand who he is as he has revealed himself in Scripture, the greater will be our confidence in God, our worship to God, and our zeal and service for God. As we increasingly understand more of who God is from Scripture, false concepts and idolatrous concepts of God are replaced by truth. We know better the God we serve and worship. We are also moved to gratitude as we understand God's providence and his work in our lives. So let's consider this idea of God's sovereignty, of His rule over all of creation. First, God is sovereign over every aspect of His creation. Look at verses 11 and 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen every one. First, notice that God is now head over all and now rules over all. The idea is not that at some future time, at the return of Christ, He will rule, but now, in the present, He reigns over all things. This is David's prayer, but later in Judah's history, King Jehoshaphat prayed a similar statement about God in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6. He said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens, and art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee. God is supreme and reigns over every aspect of His creation. There are those today who teach that God does not rule this world, that right now the devil is the sovereign ruler of this world and of nature, that the world belongs to the devil. This idea is absolutely contrary to what the Bible says about God's sovereign rule over all of creation. Besides these two passages we just considered, listen to some additional biblical statements about God's rule over all the earth. Psalm 29:3 states, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. God is Lord over the waters. Think about the time of the flood when God exercised His reign over many waters to bring judgment. From the waters of the over the earth to the waters bursting forth from the deep to bring judgment on the earth at the time of Noah. After the flood, God promised that never again would He flood the whole earth and gave the sign of the rainbow as that covenant sign. That promise not to flood the earth again implies that God controls the rain and the weather patterns of the world. Also think of God's parting of the Red Sea in Exodus 14, when the people of Israel went through on dry land and then the sea closed on the Egyptian armies that were following them. In the book of Job, there are several very profound statements about God's control over nature. It declares in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Think about how God judged the world with the flood, parted the Red Sea. The earth opened and swallowed Korah and those who rebelled against Moses in Numbers 16. God caused the sun to stand still for Joshua in Joshua 10, and that also implies His control of gravity and all the things associated with the movement of the earth. On another occasion, He caused the sun to go backward on the sundial for Ahaz in Isaiah 38:8. The fire didn't burn the three young Hebrew men when they were thrown into the fiery furnace in Daniel 3, and when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den in Daniel 6, the lions' mouths were closed. They were tame for Daniel. God controls His created world. In Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus is speaking of these ideas, He says it this way. In Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore do not fear, you are of more value than many sparrows. Not even a small bird falls from the sky apart from the sovereign plan of God. God reigns over every aspect of the created universe. Every molecule is under His sovereign control. God is over the direction of nations, the weather, and of animals. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground outside the control and will of God. As 1 Chronicles 29:11 declares, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all." God reigns over all that he has created. This means that there is no such thing as luck or chance in God's universe. Nothing occurs outside his plan and his purpose. Nothing in your life is by chance. You're not in the job you're in. You're not in the geographical location where you live. You're not doing the things you do in your life right now simply because your life has taken these turns by chance. As Proverbs 16:33 states, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." That's just another way of stating that every small detail of creation is under God's control. Second, God is sovereign over all the angels. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, it says, "Thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all." We see many scriptures where God sends his angels to protect his people. Think about when the angels went to lead Lot and his family out of Sodom. Sometimes the angels slay the wicked or deliver some message to God's people. You could remember the interpreting angel of the night visions of Zechariah or to the apostle John in Revelation. God is supreme and sovereign over these angelic ministers. But there is another class of angels in existence, those angels that fell with Satan. God is sovereign over those angels as well. Look again at the book of Job in the first chapter. In Job chapter 1, Satan comes before God. In verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." And Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse thee to thy face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him." Notice that God gives Satan permission to do certain things to Job, but he says, "You cannot touch his body." God gives Satan authority to act in certain ways, but he limits that power, he restrains it. In fact, in the course of the book, ultimately, Job comes to a greater point of sanctification than he is at the beginning of the book through the various trials and sufferings he goes through. We're to realize that all created things, whether it is man or animals or angels, fallen or unfallen, are under God's authority and control. Third, God is sovereign over the will of man. Again, in 1 Chronicles 29:11, "Thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all." I remember hearing a man make the statement, "Well, God is sovereign over all things except the human will." According to Scripture, that statement is blatantly false. In fact, if it were true, God would not be sovereign at all. We'd have billions of human wills running around out there, all resisting God's purpose and plan and doing what they wanted to do. Dr. Robert Raymond writes of this, "What these thinkers refuse to realize is that if there were one square inch in this entire universe not under his sovereign governance, God is neither absolutely sovereign nor omniscient, since that one square inch would have equal claim to its own sovereignty to do as it willed, with the authority even to set up a sign saying to God, 'Keep out.' This theological construction allows billions upon billions of these sovereign human inches to exist throughout God's universe, all denying by their own sovereign right His sovereignty over them. This construction cannot be squared with the biblical passages that teach that God did in fact foreordain whatever comes to pass, knows all things infallibly, and providentially governs all His creatures and all their actions to bring about His own holy ends. Our starting text this morning declares that God reigns and rules over all things, and that includes the will, the direction, and the mind of man. First, we see that God's rule over man's will is exercised in His grace that restrains evil, often called His common grace. This speaks of God's general benevolence to the wicked as well as the righteous, where God gives the sun and rain for crops and continued life, even to those who are unregenerate. Common grace also contains the idea that God restrains people from being as wicked as they want to be. For example, in Genesis 20, in one of the instances where Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister, she was half-sister, Abimelech took her to be his wife. God spoke to Abimelech and said, "I do not allow you to touch her, for she is the wife of another man. God did not allow him to engage in that. In Exodus 34:24, there's a very strong statement concerning God's restraint of evil. In verse 23, God says, "Three times a year all your males are to appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I'll drive out nations before you and enlarge your borders. And no man shall covet your land when you go up three times a year to appear before the Lord your God." He commands the men of Israel that they are all to come to Jerusalem to appear before the Lord three times a year. You can think about the neighboring ungodly nations, and they would say, "Well, the men are all gone. Now's a good time to go over and steal some sheep, take some land, do whatever mischief or evil we could conceive in our minds to do. The men are gone." And God says in verse 24 that no man shall covet your land when you go up three times a year to appear before the Lord your God. He said, "I will restrain evil in the nations around you so that they will not covet your land. I will control their wills, their desires, the evil that is in their hearts." We also see that God controls the will of man when He desires to bring judgment or direct the course of history. Now, because this is a point that many people have problems with or have struggles concerning, let's look at several examples of this. First, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you remember that Eli, the old priest in Israel, had wicked sons. They're doing a whole variety of evil things, stealing the offerings and committing fornication and so on. And Eli, as an old man, admonishes them in 1 Samuel 2:25. He says, "If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death." Notice that God had come to a point with them. He was going to judge them. They're going to be put to death. They wouldn't listen to the voice of the father because God had determined that He was going to put them to death. In 2 Samuel 17:14, Absalom is rebelling against his father David. And God caused Absalom to follow the inferior advice of Hushai the Archite rather than the wise counsel of Ahithophel. Then Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel, for the Lord had ordained to thwart the good counsel of Ahithophel in order that the Lord might bring calamity on Absalom." It was not God's decree, not God's purpose that Absalom defeat David and usurp his throne. He caused them to follow the inferior advice of Hushai the Archite. 1 Kings 12:15 says, "So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from the Lord, that he might establish his word, which the Lord spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat." His following this inferior advice of the foolish young men, which resulted in the division of the kingdom, was in keeping with God's eternal purpose. Later in Israel's history, Amaziah of Judah did not heed the warning issued to him by Joash of Israel. 2 Chronicles 25:20 says, "For it was from God that he might deliver them into the hand of Joash, because they had sought the gods of Edom." These passages are summarized in the statement in Proverbs 21:1, "The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes." And look at Daniel chapter 4. In Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar dreams a dream. And Daniel interprets the dream and tells him that you are going to live like a wild beast out in the field until you acknowledge that God rules over the affairs of men. And in verse 32, Daniel says, "And you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes." Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven, until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And I mentioned that's a very powerful controlling of the will and heart and thinking process as a man right there. Verse 34, "At the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, 'What hast thou done?'" God in his providence controls the flow of history. In so doing, he controls the desires and the direction of rulers, peoples, and individuals. The testimony of Scripture is strongly opposed to the very popular current idea that God cannot rule over man's will. Does this teaching of Scripture bother you? It can be a heart-searching doctrine. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, "Is there a man here who kicks against divine sovereignty? It is a testing doctrine, and if he does not receive it, it shows that his pride is not out of him." He also said, "No doctrine in the whole word of God has more excited the hatred of mankind than the truth of the absolute sovereignty of God. The fact that the Lord reigneth is indisputable, and it is this fact that arouses the utmost opposition in the unrenewed human heart." The fact that God is supreme and sovereign means that we can trust Him, even in the midst of our suffering and pain. Even when you're in situations you don't like, when you see pain around you or perhaps in your own body, you know that that pain is not meaningless or futile. You know that there is a purpose for it and that God is carrying out His plan, His purpose, which flows out of His infinite wisdom. For Christians, this goes beyond common grace and extends to God's fatherly care, His love, and His direction of you as His child. If you are truly in Christ, you are adopted into His family, you are loved by Him, and God is the absolute sovereign ruler of His universe, and He loves you. Do those truths bring comfort to your heart? Think about the promise in Romans 8:28 that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. That means that God is all-powerful, that He can affect everything in your life and turn it around for good. It means that He is all-knowing, that He knows every aspect of what's going on in your life so that He can affect it. What are you going through right now? What is the point of your pain? Whatever it is not outside of God's working in your life. And if you belong to Him, if you're in Christ, you had the promise from Scripture that He is working those things together for good. As you think about God's sovereign rule and His purpose in your life, reaffirm your trust in a sovereign Lord who rules all things and loves you. You're in Christ.
The Lord God is the one supreme ruler over all creation, and as a result, we can trust Him in whatever situation we may face. For an audio copy of today's broadcast, ask for the message entitled, God's Supremacy Over All. Our mailing address is God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or give us a call, 636-447-5691. That's 636-447-5691. God's Amazing Grace is the radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles. Dr. Van Lees is our senior pastor. The church is located at 1111 Moogie Road. You're invited to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday school for adults and children begins at 10 with a Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. The goal of Covenant of Grace Church is to glorify God in making disciples by teaching and equipping the saints and being salt and light in our community and our world. To learn more about Covenant of Grace Church and the ministry opportunities available, call our church office at 636-447-5691 or visit us online at covenantofgracechurch.org. Again, for a copy of today's broadcast, request the message entitled, God's Supremacy Over All. Our address is God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. You may also hear today's message over the internet anytime. Just log on to our Real Audio website at accradio.com. Thanks for joining us today. We invite you back again next time when we once again declare the glory of God's Amazing Grace.